Jesus' words today from our gospel are part of a longer sermon. He wants us to not only receive the mercies of God, but also to extend mercy toward those who come across our paths, no matter who they are, even to our enemies. His whole ethic seems to hinge on this one command: be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Or another translation might be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate toward you. Mercy is withholding punishment, withholding harm to someone. The good news is that God withholds punishment or harm toward us. In our case, we deserve punishment for the things we have done and the things that we have left undone. Mercy is God not doing what he can justifiably do: judge and condemn us for our sins. Mercy is not giving us what we have earned or deserved for our failures. Mercy is not being rejected and cast away. Mercy is the absence of God's anger, resentment, and judgment toward us. Mercy is having the authority to condemn us, but deciding to relent. Mercy is the one God who has the power and the authority to do harm, but chooses not to carry it out. Mercy flows from his compassion and his empathy toward us. You heard the reading from our Old Testament. Mercy is Joseph in our Old Testament reading. You'll remember that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. It's the highest betrayal a family member could do. Years later, it could have been a sweet payback for Joseph, a poetic justice to see his brothers get what they deserve. His brothers deserve to suffer for what they did, for their sins. And yet Joseph relents. He sees a bigger picture of what God is doing. He sees a wider mercy, not just for himself and for his family and his people, but for the whole world. So Jesus says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. He gives us many examples of what mercy looks like. Mercy is not hating your neighbors or your enemies back. It's not paying evil with evil. Mercy is not hitting those who have first hit you. Mercy is not doing harm to those who have done harm to you. Mercy is not judging, not condemning, not demanding, not keeping a record of wrongs. When Jesus says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful, he's calling us to an impossible command. But he's showing us the inseparable connection between God's mercy on us and the mercy that we extend toward others. Every time we pray, we're reminded of this connection. When we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is a form of mercy. Withholding judgment, withholding condemnation for offenses toward us. Forgiveness is mercy toward those who owe us a debt. This is a life-transforming truth, an attitude adjustment, if you will, and the source of strength that we need to be merciful to those around us, to understand and appreciate the mercy God has first extended to you and to me. This is the same connection that we see between the great commandment to love God with your whole heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So, when we're not merciful, when we are judgmental, when we're self-righteous, when we revel in our power to see to it that our enemies get their just deserts, we have forgotten or we've never realized how great God's mercy is toward us. If there's a lack of mercy in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives toward those around us, it's not because of the way we were raised. It's not because of the tough breaks that you and I have had. It's because we have not yet been amazed by the grace and mercy of God that transforms our lives. On Wednesdays, we're studying the book of Romans. And we just had in our reading on Wednesday, Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Be merciful, as your heavenly Father is merciful. Mercy then flows from the hearts and minds and lives of those who live in awe of God's mercy. Mercy flows from the person who can see themselves and others and say, am I really better? Don't I deserve to suffer for what I have done? Each of us has a story that's different. But now we can imagine, through the lens of the gospel, through the mercy of God, we can imagine how each person around us can also experience God's mercy for themselves. Perhaps, first, through us, if we get the privilege. That is how God kills our judgmental attitudes. That's how God deals a death blow to our mercilessness. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. This is our God. Mercy flows from Him so that the world would not experience His judgment and condemnation, but eternal life, so that they would not perish, but have eternal life. And His mercy is not just for us, but for the whole world. When Christ died, mercilessness died with Him. When He rose again from the dead, He gave new life to mercy in His world. God's mercy flows to us. God's mercy flows through us. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. What trivial debts are owed to us, how great our debt to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.